Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Many of you can't come to Rancho Cucamonga. It's a beautiful city. But you can join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. at Pacific Time and go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, enter in chat, pray, worship, grow in grace. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel at The Seed Christian Fellowship and watch any of our weekly messages, our children's messages, or our weekly sermons, or our weekly worship services. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in Him. Today, we're going to begin a little series called Life in Christ. Life in Christ. Life in Christ. Maybe a few good so what questions to ponder and pray as we begin this series. Maybe think about this. What does it mean to you have a life in Christ? What does a life in Christ look like? What word would you use to describe your life in Christ? For anyone that's listening, if you have never surrendered your life to Christ, there is no better time than today, right now. Simply pray this prayer with me and ask Jesus to come into your heart and give you a new life. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. I believe you are God's Son. Come into my life and heart and mind and forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or even once again as you desire to recommit your life to Christ, please let me know. I want to pray for you. I have a handout I can email to you. It's called some of the quote-unquote in Christ passages that are found in the Scriptures. I would happily or love to email it to you. Just email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, and I'll mail you this list of in Christ passages. We've been in Romans 8 just recently for, 9 weeks. Today we find another powerful and wonderful reminder of God's love. Remember, Paul is writing this letter to the church in Rome. He wants to remind them and encourage them that God loved us even though no one is righteous. There's some awfully good news here. Everyone is fallen, every single one of us. No need to take a test or a survey. The plumb line is apparent. We have fallen short of the glory of God. Before we come to the scripture reading today, let us come to the throne of grace and seek the Lord's face. Lord, God of all grace, you loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for our sins. Forgive us for our sins, for they are many. Let us stop striving to earn your love, and let us simply receive the righteousness from you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We begin with Romans chapter 3, verse 21. And following, this is the passage that Martin Luther, 500 years ago, called the chief point and the very central place of the epistle to the Romans and of the whole Bible. That's quite a claim. In terms of its topic, in terms of the focus of what the whole Bible is all about, I believe that's exactly right. We are standing at the very center point of the whole Bible. Let me read these words, Romans chapter 3, 21 through 31. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. There is no difference, for we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Christ. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, and since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. A righteousness from God. Let's talk about that for a minute. Righteousness. Wow, that's a big word. What is righteousness? The Hebrew word for righteousness is tzedek, S-E-D-E-K, tzedek, and it means to walk a straight path or to be in a right relationship. The Greek word for righteousness is diakosone, and it means to be put right with or a cause to be put in a right relationship with. My wife always translates righteousness with the words right living. Each morning we put on the breastplate of righteousness. She then pipes in, I put on the breastplate of right living. When I asked her why, she told me, my brain gets lost in the big word righteousness. I can find a million reasons why I can't wear the breastplate of righteousness. It sounds too big for me, but I can understand right living. I can easily put on the breastplate of right living. I know how to do that. Righteousness to me seems too big, too holy, too right. Living brings it down to my level. Can every choice I make be the right choice? I can do that. Those were her words. Can you put on the breastplate of right living today? Can every choice you make be the right choice? And so I put on the breastplate of right living when I do my armor. Ephesians chapter 6, helmet of salvation, breastplate of right living, belt of truth, sandals of peace, shield of faith, and sword of the Spirit. The Old Testament prophet Jeremiah called God the God of righteousness when God would save the people from their bondage, the Babylonians. Listen to Jeremiah 23, verse 6. In this day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he called the Lord our righteousness. God is Jehovah Tsidkenu, which means the Lord our righteousness. When Jesus began his ministry, he took the disciples and his followers up on a mountain and gave them a message called the Sermon on the Mount. This message is found in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus teaches about righteousness or about right living on that mountain. Listen to a few of these words from Christ. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness or right living, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness or right living, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. For I tell you that unless your righteousness or right living surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:20. I love Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his right living, and all these things will be given to you. Matthew 6:33. The word righteousness is used at least 399 times in the Old Testament and 91 times in the New Testament. I would say righteousness or right living and right walking in a right relationship with God is a central theme of the Bible. The problem with walking in a right relationship with God is that we all have sinned. That is what we are told in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Paul is quoting Psalm 14 when King David writes, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. Psalm 14:1. The truth be told is that we live in a world of secular humanism that teaches us that there is no God. We have a lot of foolish people in this world. The other day, I saw a great meme. It said, You get the world 6 days a week. Go to church one day a week and get the word, W-O-R-D. This is what we are doing right here on the radio, or what we do every Sunday at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We gather together to feed on the word of God. The opening two words of Paul's teaching set this into context. They are powerful, but now. Quote, but now. But now there is an answer to our problem of sin. What Romans 3, 21 through 31 teaches could be summarized with these four points. Point number one, this righteousness is from God, and God has provided a righteousness of his own for men and women, a righteousness we do not possess by ourselves. Point number two, this righteousness is by grace and grace alone. Thank God we can't buy it or earn it. Number three, this righteousness is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in dying on the cross for his people, redeeming them from their sin. This act of grace of Christ's death is a grace on God's part alone. Number four, this righteousness which God has graciously provided becomes ours through simple faith. We can't buy it. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We simply receive it. Maybe a simple way to say this is righteousness by God alone, righteousness by grace alone, righteousness by Christ's death alone, righteousness by faith alone. Wow, I love those four points. Let me say them again. Righteousness by God alone, righteousness by grace alone, righteousness by Christ's death alone, righteousness by faith alone. Dr. Samuel Weinstein, chief of pediatric cardiothoracic surgery for Children's Hospital at Montefiore Medical Center in New York City, went to El Salvador in 2006 with Heart Care International to provide life-saving operations for the poor children. It would take more than expertise and advanced equipment to save the life of Francesco Calderon Anthony Fernandez, 8. However, after 12 hours of surgery, the boy began to bleed out of control. The hospital lacked both the medicine to stop the bleeding and the blood to give the boy transfusions. Francesco's blood type was B negative, which, according to the American Red Cross, is present in only 2% of the population. Dr. Weinstein had the same blood, so he set aside his scalpel, took off her gloves, and began washing his hands and forearm. Then he sat down and had his blood drawn. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to pray for you. Our prayer team is a wonderful ministry of prayer, and we've seen some wonderful miracles. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and we will pray for you. Dr. Weinstein had the same blood, so he took his scalpel and his glove and set him off to the side and had his blood drawn. When he had given his pint of blood, Dr. Weinstein drank some bottled water and ate a Pop-Tart. Then 20 minutes later, after stepping away from the table, he rejoined his colleagues. He watched as Weinstein's blood began flowing into the boy's small vein. Weinstein then completed the operation and saved Francesco's life. See, Do you see any similarities between Dr. Weinstein and Jesus? Without Christ's blood shed for us, without the cross, our lives are lost. With Christ's blood and with his death on the cross, we are saved. We have a righteousness through faith by grace. The truth of these passages teaches us that we are in need of a blood infusion to save our lives. We cannot save ourselves. We are in need of the blood of Christ to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, to cleanse us of all of our wrong living. This past week, while I was away from the church, I went to teach at a men's retreat. I had the opportunity to give several talks about grace and those sacred moments in which we experience God's grace and love. In a few moments, we remember again what that sacrament of communion is all about. We are told that in the breaking of the bread, that Christ is present, or Christ represents himself, or illustrates that Christ's body is broken so we could be set into a new relationship, a right relationship with God. The words that are spoken over the cup in the words of institution, this cup of redemption poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Did you hear that? The cup is the cup of forgiveness. We have a blood transfusion when we celebrate that sacrament of communion. We have a blood transfusion right here. In the blood transfusion, we're put in a right relationship. We're given the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at us, he looks at us through the lens of a cross. And God does not see our filthy rags, but God sees the white robe of Christ's righteousness paid for in full by his one and only Son. It's like me putting on a white robe. A white robe covers my filthy rags of sin and puts me in a new relationship or in Christ's righteousness. Wow. On the weekend that I led, I had a talk with several men who were struggling with forgiveness and accepting the righteousness of God. I shared with a man that weekend, 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of all of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. When we confess our sins, we are told that God is faithful. Who's faithful? God is faithful. God is just. Who is just? God is just and will forgive us from all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Did you hear that? When we confess, that's our part. God is faithful and just, and God will forgive and purify or cleanse us from all wrong living so that we can have his righteousness or his right living. In Isaiah 1:18, the prophet teaches us to come to God or come to the Lord. Listen how he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Isaiah 1:18. God does not see the red shirt stained by my sinful life. God sees me with his white robe of righteousness. This righteousness is all by grace through faith. This righteousness has nothing to do with me. I cannot do enough or earn it. I can't do enough right things to earn God's righteousness. I simply must receive this tremendous gift of grace. So what? What do all these ancient words mean to us? Maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor Dave, you've been talking fast. I don't quite understand. What do these ancient words mean to us? Paul tells us that we are given an opportunity to receive a right relationship with God. This right relationship only comes through the work of Christ on the cross. This righteousness comes by grace through faith, no other way. Let me say that again. This right relationship comes by grace through faith, no other way. The one thing that sets Christianity apart from all other religions is that all religions except for Christianity suppose that there is something human beings can do for their God or the deity to convince their God to save them. They teach a human way to achieve eternity, a man-made ladder to the bliss of the life to come. Only Christianity humbles us by insisting that there is nothing at all we can do to work out our salvation. As believers, the early followers of Jesus were, quote unquote, in Christ, in Christo, in Christ. Scripture teaches that when we are, quote unquote, in Christ, the old is gone. The new has come, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Archaeologists tell us that many of the nameless slabs in the catacombs of Rome carry the inscription, in Christo, in Christ, and significantly also bore on the same slab its spiritual corollary, in pace, in peace. In Christo, in pace. In peace. In Christ, in peace. In Christ, in peace. In Christ, we are in peace. Isn't peace what we all need? Being in Christ gives us a reason to celebrate as Paul and the ancient Christians did. This quote-unquote being in Christ is a wonder of wonders. I want to close with an experience I had a few years ago. I met with several pastors for a prayer time. One of the pastors was a woman. I'll call her Jane. Jane had been battling cancer for the past several years. She had surgery on her throat and had part of her throat removed. Recently, she was diagnosed with tumors in her lungs. We went to the doctor, and after all the x-rays and MRIs, the doctor told her that she was not a good candidate for surgically removing the tumors from her lungs. As Jane prayed about this deeply disappointing moment, she decided to go see a thoracic surgeon so the doctor could explain fully why she was not a good candidate for surgery. She made an appointment with a surgeon she had never met. Before she went to see the surgeon, she said that she heard the Holy Spirit speak to her heart and say, quote, "If you get to do the surgery, you will meet my peace." End of quote. If you get to do the surgery, you'll meet my peace. Jane went to see the surgeon, who took a look at her x-rays and reports and said, quote, "I'll do the surgery for you on Saturday. Are you available?" Jane looked up astonished. She told the surgeon that she was speaking at two women's retreats that Saturday, but she could cancel. The surgeon is Jewish. He said, "Then let's do it Sunday." Jane's husband is a pastor, as is Jane. Her husband was away on a mission trip in Indonesia. Jane went to the hospital on Sunday with her daughter. As they sat in the waiting room, her daughter said, "Mom, you are going to meet God's peace here." Jane looked at her daughter and started to cry. She had never told her daughter what she had heard from the Holy Spirit. Next, Jane's nurse came in and introduced herself. She said that she was going to be Jane's nurse for pre-op and post-op. The nurse's name? Shalom. The nurse was an Indonesian woman. Jane tried to explain all that was going on inside of her, how her husband was in Indonesia, how God had told her that she was going to meet peace, and how Shalom's name means peace. My friend was able to share the good news of the gospel with her nurse, Shalom. In Christ, we have a righteousness that is not our own. We have a right standing, a right relationship. In Christ, we have a peace that is not our own. Translation. Here it is. This right living from God comes through faith in Jesus. To all, every single one who believe, there is no difference. Why? Because all, that is, every single person have sinned, and all, every single person has fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified, just as if they've never sinned. Cleansed freely by God's grace. I can't buy this. I can't earn this. I don't deserve this. But how is this even possible for me? Through the redemption, the buying back of each one who believes, that comes by Christ Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is finished only by the blood of Jesus. Luther is as close to center point here as Luther can be. Let us come to the table when he says, only by Christ, only by the blood. That's a wonderful song. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we study these words in Christ, help us to seek you and seek your righteousness first. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know, if you need a copy of these in Christ passages, email me at Pastor Dave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship, and I'll email the In Christ passages to you. We're going to be here for a while. My prayer is that you'll come to know Christ. And if you prayed the opening prayer, the sinner's prayer, with me, email me. I want you to know that Christ loves you. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord be gracious unto you always. Go in peace and his righteousness. God loves you. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.